Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power. We thank you for everything that you've been doing in our lives. Father God, we ask you to continue on to watch over us, to lead us and guide us, to help us, to strengthen us as we go forth in your word. We ask, Lord God, that you just minister by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what I'm ready to do. I'm ready to turn off the board and system, make them preach and teach without a mic system. Then I'd be all wrong then, wouldn't it? Seems like every week I got to change this and change that. We've been dealing with the attributes of God, and in dealing with the attributes of God, we've been really talking on a different levels of the with the characteristic that makes up the God whom we worship. And in that, there's two divisions that's in the attributes of God. And the first division is what I call the unique attributes of God, which is one of a kind. No one else can possess them. No one else has them. Those attributes that we was talking about for the last few weeks, being simply, thank you, Lord, that God is self-existent, he internal, he's self-sufficient, he's infinite, he's immutable, he's sovereign, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and he omniscient. I can't say that word, which means he possessed all knowledge. And so we were dealing with the three last week of being all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. Did we finish them? Well, let's do a review anyhow, how that sounds. And being that these attributes that I talked about, you can't possess them. None of y'all. No one. They only are within him. That's it. None of y'all. None of us. No one. And it's so incredible because we're going to get into this week what I call the moral attributes of God or the humanity attributes of God. These are the characteristics of God that he possesses, but when he created mankind, he placed these attributes into them. In order for us to be successful, we have to transform these attributes that was inside God through our daily living. Are y'all with me? This is where a lot of us fail, because these attributes is what he looks for us to present to this earthly realm that he may get the glory. In other words, it's pretty much what he's doing in Revelation, where he's bringing us back with him so he can show Satan that we had chose him. Every time in we deal with it in situations and circumstances throughout our spiritual walk, God is trying to bring out these attributes that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. So all your trials and tribulation, so he can bring out these attributes that he has created to be in you, that you have in you, but you don't think that you can function in them. We use these attributes that we're going to talk about because they seem too far-fetched for us as an excuse why we're doing the things that we're doing wrong. Oh, I can't be holy. Oh, I'm really not faithful. I'm not righteous. I'm not just. Oh, you know. But God needs for us to manifest these attributes we're going to talk about over the next few weeks so he can showcase you off to the enemy. You know, I'm dealing with a message called the showbread. And what the message is pretty much dealing with is that it's a show. And not the show as we think, because our definition of the show is when we show off. But it's really the same concept, but it's God showing us off. And what he's trying to get you to do through all your trials and circumstances and giving you the right to choose is for you to choose some moral or humanity characteristics that he possessed on the inside of him, that he placed on the inside of you, that most of them before you came into Christ was sitting dormant. You got it? We're going to deal with a few of them tonight, but let me, because I don't know if we did this. Yeah, I'm not going back. We was fine with that, because I'm trying to get out of here early tonight. I ain't trying to fool with y'all all night long tonight. really none. So if I pop through here about 20, 25 minutes, just put the Nakia spirit on me and we're going to be good to go. Hallelujah. First attribute is this one. This attribute is mainly inside the spiritual realm of a unique attribute that we cannot possess, okay? This attribute is so unique, but he constantly say throughout the scripture, he want us to be this attribute. Now, this attribute cannot be obtained on the earthly realm, but this is the only attribute that opens the doorway for us to see the glimpse of God in his spirituality, in his unique state, in the unique characteristic, the ones that we have taught about to now. Do anybody know which one that is? What? There you go. Holy. It's the only attribute that he told us to be, but we can't obtain it. But he constantly tells us to be, but we can't obtain it. But we can obtain it only through the blood. So I'm really not holy by myself, but with his help, I can become holy because his blood smears over my unholiness and cause my unholiness to become what? Holy. Are y'all with me? Watch how he present holiness to us. And I thought it was so unique how he present holiness to us in the beginning. Holiness means to dedicate or consecrate for a purpose. That's it. He's telling us to be dedicated and consecrated for a purpose. In other words, y'all want to know how God is excited when y'all be holy, when y'all do the purpose that he set you forth to do. That's unique. Now, think about it. What's the biggest struggle we had? Doing our purpose. Everybody want to do everybody else's purpose except for their own purpose. That's the one struggle. Then you got the group of folks that don't feel like they're worthy enough to do the purpose. Then you got the other group of folks that's not pleased about what they're doing. They want to do a bigger thing, so, you know, they just want to do their own purpose. I'm beginning to understand one of the biggest issues with us, with God, is that we choose not to do what he set forth and birthed us to do. When you look in the Old Testament, all the great leaders, they fell in love with doing what God wanted them to do. I'm gonna give you one that y'all don't want to talk about. Joseph. Did Joseph do his purpose? Yes. Joseph's purpose was to go into bondage, set himself into another country that his family may be saved. Now, do you think he wanted to stay through all them trials and tribulations that he endured? He had his good days, his bad days, but when he knew he was fulfilling the purpose of God, he knew that he had to keep on going. But see, with us, we want the purpose to be a delightful, shiny, pretty purpose. We don't want our purpose to be a doormat purpose. We don't want our purpose to be a toilet cleaning purpose. And that's why the body of Christ is lacking so much. Because we're no longer the body. Because we are an entity that is crippled in a wheelchair that the heads are functioning. We're not a functioning body in the church no more. You can't get people to do the things that does not give glory no more. But here he's telling me, if I want to be holy, I have to understand what my purpose is. And if I do my purpose, then I become holy. I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. What? Which is what? So my service is to present my body as a living sacrifice to do what God wants to be done with it. And when I do that, then I become. And we can't comprehend holiness because we don't even understand what God wants. Do you think that he was up inside heaven, wanted to come down and endure the pain and suffering of mankind? Do you think he wanted to be whipped 39, 40 lashes. Do you think that he wanted to be humiliated? Do you think he really wanted to go sit on the cross? But he understood the purpose that needed to be fulfilled. And it was nobody else can fulfill that purpose except for him. So he chose to do the purpose. And when he chose to do the purpose, that would make him holy. Oh, my God. Watch how he put this in the thing, in perspective. He told Moses, listen to this, y'all. He told Moses, Moses, hey, take off your shoes because the place that you are standing is, hold up. Was the ground holy? No, it wasn't. You know why? In Genesis, he cursed the ground for. The ground wasn't holy. But let's see what happened here. Go to Exodus. I'm beginning to check this stuff out, man. I'm staying with this burning bush movement for a long while, ain't a V. You be talking about me on this one, won't you? Pass, I don't know no more scripture about this burning bush one. The reason why I stay here, because this is when he first presented to the children of Israel his attributes all in one. And when they say, I am that I am, then there was something very important about this attribute and about this movement. So let's look what happened here. Let's go. Third chapter, the first verse. You got me? Who got me? Is Mike in? Nobody got Mike? Everybody just coming in here, no purpose being fulfilled. Nobody doing anything. We just going through the motions, hoping that somebody else pick up the ball and run with it.
Exodus, the third chapter, first verse.
Yep.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush.
Okay, where is the bush located at? Where is the bush located at? A normal bush. Okay, so the root of the bush or the root of it, or the source of where it gets its strength, that is where? Okay, let's go.
And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for thy place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
What made the ground holy if he cursed it back in Genesis? Did he need the bush? Whenever he needs something to fulfill his purpose, he sets it apart and dedicates it. And as long as it's fulfilling his purpose, it becomes holy. He needed the bush so he can grab Moses' attention. The bush fulfilled the purpose. So when the bush fulfilled its purpose, even though it had a root or the beginning of it, it was cursed, it now becomes holy because it fulfilled the purpose that God has set forth to fulfill. I don't care how much of your past is cursed. When you start fulfilling his purpose, then when he uses you for your purpose, you now become holy. No make a difference how much you have on the inside of you that's no good. Not only you, but everything around you now becomes holy. Yeah. It's all based on you fulfilling your purpose. holiness. Because when you fulfill your purpose and start doing what God has called you to do, you're not sinning. You're not worried about sinning. You're only worried about what? Pleasing God. You cannot fulfill your purpose, and fulfilling your purpose is fulfilling that which pleases God and still be. I think we got this wrong. I think we worry about trying not to be something instead of us trying to be what God called us to be. I think most of us are sinning because we're unhappy because we're not fulfilling the purpose that God has set forth for us. I think we're all running around here doing crazy things because we're not fulfilling the purpose that God has set forth in our life to do. I look out through all the great leaders. When they started doing what God called them to do, they became happy. Holy. Go to Leviticus 11:44. Leviticus 27. And 1 Peter 1:15-16. Leviticus 11:44. Leviticus 27. And 1 Peter 1:15-16. Y'all ready? Let's go.
Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God.
Hold on. Let's slow this down a little bit. I am the Lord what?
Your God.
There you go. Make sure we get that. Come on. Keep on.
Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Keep on.
For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be.
I brought you out of bondage. Come on.
To be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
Now go to 27.
And whatsoever goeth upon
him. No, 20th, Leviticus 20th, the 7th verse.
Sanctify yourself therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God.
Stop. That's why we get it at, and go to Peter, 1 Peter. First Peter 1:15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matters of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so when I looked at that in First Peter, I said, well, why was it written that? And it was written in Leviticus in two different occasions. But there was something before he told us to be holy, something had to occur. Now let's go back to Leviticus so we can understand that the being process of holy requires something else in order for us to be. Y'all ready? Go back to Leviticus again, the 11th chapter. We just take one of them because both of them actually says the same. For I am your Lord God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. The 20th reads, sanctify yourselves, therefore, be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. So what I'm beginning to understand, his status does not change. All of the relationship factors in all three verses was all the same as a personal relationship. Now, he told us always to be ye holy. So the being part is cool. Know what I got to do? I got to be that. So what is be? We just read it inside of Exodus. What is be? I am. Or what? I exist. So exist holy. How can I exist holy? That's what he's talking about. Be ye holy. Exist holy. That means if I exist and I'm holy, you can exist in a holy state of being. Now, you cannot attain the holiness of your own self. There's already a realm of holiness prepared for you. If you stay sanctified, if you automatically stay sanctified, holiness will be manifested in you, through you, while you're doing its purpose. How do I stay sanctified? What is sanctified? There you go. So our problem is that we want to carry everybody around with us. We don't want to do our purpose. We don't want to do what God's called us to do because most of us got to do it alone. We don't want to take the time to sanctify ourselves or set ourselves apart from the conversation to do some studying. We don't want to sanctify or set ourselves apart to do fasting. I ain't never seen a whole bunch of Christian people that want to fast with a whole bunch of group of folks and nobody want to fast by themselves. I don't like people to fast with me because to me, fasting is a place of sanctification of me. I ain't never seen folks always want to grab with other people to pray with them when you should be praying by yourself. Oh, y'all missing this. Because you'll never get to where God needs you to be long as you keep trying to bring people along with you. Some things you got to do by yourself. He's saying that the key to being holy and doing my purpose, if I can get you alone, if I can get you by yourself, and so you can set yourself apart, then you can get into my purpose. And if you get into my purpose, then the holiness would already be, the holiness then will be revealed to everybody because they're seeing something different in you. I had a comment, and it made me feel uncomfortable. And I'm kind of careful how I say it because I don't want to feel like I was bragging. Raymond looked at me after and came up to me, hugged me. He said, and Raymond, y'all don't know who Raymond, he was the one with the tan suit on. Me and Raymond went through everything together. We went to Bible college together. He was the first one that met Marguerite. And so he pulled me out. He said, boy, I just sit in awe at you. I just look at what you, wow. He said, I don't know. I just so humble. This is like how I say, humble by how God used you and you preaches now. If I never left them, I could never get to where I need to be. That's my boy. And he introduced me to the people down there. This is my best friend. But if I would have stayed with them, I could never get to where I need to do. And where I needed to do is to fulfill my purpose, what God called me to do. That's why I can say I'm in holiness now. Because I'm doing what God called me to do. When you're doing what God calls you to do, the blood automatically flows down to take care of matters. And you find yourself closer to God. You find yourself not wanting to be around folks because you want to fulfill his purpose. Anybody getting like that now? You really want to separate yourself. Some things you know is hard, but your heart has changed. And you really want to be different. You ain't got time for a lot of junk. You don't got time for people anymore. You don't want to be bothered with that. Some things that you used to entertain, when people come to tell you, you be cutting them off. I don't want to hear that. Now you're beginning to walk into holiness. Because holiness is about you separating yourself, and only thing that's on your agenda is the purpose of God. It ain't a sin factor. Holiness ain't got nothing to do with the sin. Holiness got to be doing and pleasing God. And when you put your mind on pleasing God, the sin was automatically not be around you. How do I know that? If you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, what the devil going to do? So if it flees, that means sin's name is going to come gravitate themselves to you. Sin actually going to gravitate away from you. It's the submitting to the will of God will present holiness in your life. He said, if I submit it. Oh, let me get you to you. Philippians. I'm going to stay here because I think we really need to understand this a little bit. Is that okay if I stay here for a minute? Some of y'all dying and don't even understand. All you have to do is submit. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I submit. I sinned last week. I can't submit. My dude, man, come on, y'all. Let's go. Philippians, the second chapter, the fifth verse.
Philippians 2:1.
2:5.
Philippians 2:5.
Oh, let's go to 2:4.
Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his
own. Hold on, let's go to 2:1.
Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love,
oh gosh,
if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory.
Come on now.
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Come on, watch this.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men.
In other words, he denounced his status, humbled himself, came into that which he hated, walked in it, and died in it. I'm not going to do that. Man. Who they think I am? Vain glory. High-minded it. He asked me to do that. Why didn't he ask Mike Jones to do that? I'm an elder. Vain glory. Like-minded. That's the opposite of holiness. Y'all gonna catch on in a minute. Y'all gonna catch on in a minute. Humility, willing to do what it takes, cause holiness to come on the scene. Come on.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
It was the obedience to willing to die, to sacrifice himself, that causes holiness to appear to all individuals. Holiness was not on the earthly realm until this occurred. Now I can obtain holiness. His whole purpose in the Old Testament was to try to bring holiness on the scene, and it could never be obtained. But now, because of the obedience of him, I now can present myself holy in front of y'all because the blood of Jesus is covering that which is unholy in me. And as long as I stay in his will, the blood continue on to flow. As long as I stay humble, the blood continue to flow. As long as I strive every day to please him and confess my sins and faults before him, the blood continue to flow. And as long as the blood continue to flow, holiness flows. Holy. One more. Yeah, we do one more. Wisdom. Watch this. The next one we're going to do is wisdom or to be wise. So any question on holiness? Y'all got that? Everybody cool with holy? Y'all see anything different in that? And when we grew up, we tried to obtain it by, don't get me wrong, listen, y'all. Our way of doing it of the natural was perfect because we knew no better. So what they did was set themselves apart from everybody and everything, which I'm going to tell you, in that day and time was perfect because it was a state of being that they made in their mind that we presented to everybody. And it was a big struggle. And they came around the backside of the mountain to obtain it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I thank God for that root. Because my mama was holy. And on the backside of her sheltering herself off, on the backside of her putting on the long dresses, on the backside of her hairing the hats, and the prayer cloth, it worked from the outward inward. It was a hard way of doing it. And some people still need that way in order to achieve it. But what I'm learning is, and they lived on a thou shall not creed. What I'm learning is that I can do all things, but my focus got to stay on Christ. Some of us need to go back to the other root because some of y'all not making it this way. Because y'all think grace that's been sent in your life can shield you and cover you always from everything that you're doing, and you don't understand how grace functions. Grace do not function in how many sins you do. Grace function in your attitude, in your falling down of the sins you do. Because some of y'all are strong in some areas, and you use it for excuse because you just don't want to do it. Grace is made to protect the areas where you're weak yet. Some of y'all are not weak in areas that you just sinning. You just sinning because you want to sin. And that's why I have a problem with people in grace. Because some of y'all ain't even trying not to sin. Some of us. I'm going to put myself in it. And you can't use the grace card on that. Some of us got shortcomings and weakness in some areas that we struggle in. The grace card can be used in that area. But some of y'all in some of the areas... Man, come on, y'all. Come on. Writing bad checks, and it's just because you went out and paid a whole bunch of money for something that you know you shouldn't have. Knew you didn't have no money. That's just ridiculous. And y'all, I hit a nail that one, didn't I? Lord will provide. I mean, when I get finished with this, I'm going to do something that I told myself. I thought I wasn't going to tell myself that I was going to do. We're going to have a session on good stewardship. I'm going to teach on good stewardship. I'm beginning to get myself in a position about paying tithes and giving offering and good stewardship, using what you got, working what you have, functioning within budgets. We're going to do a whole session. I'm even going to present a budget to everybody in the class, and I'll help you on your budget, and you could be able to function. That's where I'm going at when I get finished this. But I'm going to tell you, I would not give a budget sheet out to anybody unless you're paying your tithes. Because it does you no good without giving tithes and offering. I can't do it. You tie my hand. But that's another lesson for another day. Okay? So we're going to deal with the wise God now. Him being wise. Wise or wisdom is his ability to derive a perfect end. That's it. His ability to devise a perfect end. That's it. It's the end. wisdom and being a wise God is that he do not really give a darn about the middle. He cares about the end result. And that's why he's so wise that he will not be fooled by your tears. He's so wise that he can't be manipulated by your fake praise. He's so wise that that little thing that you portraying or saying, he already seen the end, and he see you at the end, that he won't even let you and your sad get him off of what he needs to perform in your life. It's the wise side of God that keeps you in it when his heart want to let you go. It's the wise side of God that does not give you that which you keep asking for, because he knows if he do, you're going to mess up. It's the wise side of God won't give you that lottery numbers. Even after you say, Lord, you know I pay your tithe, but then the wise side of God does this. Listen. The God wisdom is about getting us to the end with his knowledge, skills, and expertise. He has the power to discern and judge properly. So the wise side of God can discern and judge properly. Okay, you saying that if I give you $1 million that you're going to give it, but I gave you $50, you didn't even pay tithes on that. So the wise side of God say, no, I can't even give you $1 million because you ain't going to pay it on $1 million because you didn't pay it on $50. The wise side of God does not see anything except the finished product. And he don't care about nothing except the ending. How do I translate it to us? Watch this. We are supposed to seek him for wisdom. Wisdom gives us the ability to discern and to judge properly internal. I'm not supposed to judge you openly. But I can judge the spirit that you're possessing. Even though I can't openly judge you, I can judge the spirit in which you're coming at me in. Are you understanding what I'm saying there? I can judge Mike Jones' spirit that he are walking into, but I can't openly judge him. Because openly judge means to critique him on his shortcomings and his downfall. But here I am supposed to know his shortcoming and his downfall. I'm supposed to know that Mike Jones is A, B, and C before he walks to me. But I'm not supposed to judge him to you. Judge not, but yet ye be judged. You know, that wasn't a good spirit he had there. No, that wasn't of God. You know, that just wasn't, didn't sound right. That wasn't of God. I got to discern this and look this over. I can't stand folks talking about everybody got the discerning of spirit. I got the discerning. No, we all got discerning of spirit. All of us can discern. All of us. Trust me. I'm going to tell you the easiest way to discern. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? I'm going to tell you. All of y'all can discern what's of God and not of God if you look at the word of God. I tell everybody this. Look at somebody in the eyes. Don't listen to their words. Watch their body language. A spirit moves. You can discern when somebody, by their intent, you can discern when somebody, a prime example, how many of y'all married in here, or how many of y'all got loved ones? How many of y'all got somebody you're close to every day? Tubby, you can discern when he's ready to manipulate you. When Tubby wants something, Tubby will rat their head back and get on your side. Oh, is something about ready to pop off now. Right or wrong? Why? Because you've been around them. You watch their mannerism. And in their mannerism, the spirit's going to manifest itself. If you watch folks, you can tell when somebody's angry, somebody's devious, somebody is up to something. I tell Doris and them always, and they can't comprehend. I tell them I got a camera in the house. Doris will tell you, Daddy got a camera in the house. She said, no, he don't, Doris. Yeah, he do, because he knows too much. All you have to do is take time to observe. Listen, y'all, observe. Stop listening. Stop talking. Watch and observe. It's not hard. But with the problem with some of us, God hides it from us because we're too judgmental. We don't know how to judge properly. I can never be mad at Mike Jones, but I can be mad at the spirit that used him. But too many of us get mad at the individual and not the spirit. He wants us to judge so we can deal with the spirit, but we judge in the people. Openly, because when we judge them, I'm going to talk about, you know, Mike Jones, he came here and had the audacity to say that. It's something he's struggling with. Watch how I got enough time. Go to, let's just do this one. Go to 1 Kings 3:16.
I need to start marking these days. Make it easy on me.
Let's roll.
1 Kings 3:16. Then came there were two women that were harlots unto the king and stood there before
him. Hold on,
hold on.
Make sure you understand they both were whores. There was no distinguishing neither one. They okay. both were they both was whores. I want y'all to make sure y'all understand what it is. Neither one of them inside the rights of being inside the king's presence should have been inside the king's presence because neither one of them was married. Neither one of them was supposed to have this baby. They both was inside sin and it conceived inside sin. I just want to make sure y'all understand who God deals with when it's time to be wise. Because some of y'all just think it's only folks before the church folks. Let's go.
And the one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass that..."
So they was in a whole house. Come on, let's go. I'm going to set the scene to you. So the place where they was in not a good spot. They both dwelled in the same house. Let's go.
And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that was the that this woman was delivered also.
Oh no, I ain't got enough to say with that one. Go ahead.
And we were together. There was no stranger.
So they laying together in the same bed, two babies and all. Let's go. Come on.
There was no stranger with us in the house.
Save there was what?
There was no stranger with us in the house.
Yeah, they all left that night. They wouldn't.
Save we two in the house.
Only us two. Let's go.
And this woman's child died in the night because we overlaid it.
Oh.
She overlaid.
Hold up.
She overlaid.
Stop.
It.
Time out. Wait a minute. This woman had to be somewhere at a different level to roll over and suffocate her baby. I'm not saying that she was, but it's a natural instinct for a woman when they have a child where the child is at nighttime. Even when they're in their belly, they do not roll awkwardly. And after you take them out of the belly, for 3 days afterwards, you feel like you still need them to be, you carry them 9 months. So I just come to the conclusion, and this is just my opinion, she must have been fired up by this time, drunk or something, in order to roll over and smother her baby. Let's go. Come on.
And she rose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaiden slept.
Now she taking the other child and switching babies. Let's go.
And laid it in her bosom. And laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear.
Yep. Come on.
And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son.
Mm-hmm.
And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son.
So now we're both fussing over this one child. Come on.
Thus they spake before the king.
So they come to King Solomon. Let's go. How you going to deal with this king? You wasn't there. I know you wasn't in the whole house with them. You didn't. Wasn't there that night. How was he supposed to deal with this? Read on.
Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.
So the king said, okay, what are we going to do then? Since both of y'all proclaim this your child, let me just cut them in half and get one to one, one to other. How wise would this? See, we may look at it, but that's cruel through the men. What I tell you wisdom is about, getting the end result. Mm-hmm. What he realized is simply this. The one that killed the child didn't care about the child in the first place. In order to roll over on the child, it really wasn't a nurturing woman anyhow. And something she got to be on in order to do that, because that's unseemly for any woman to want to do that. Now, number two, if it was the one that taken and did that, now I'm dealing with a devious individual that really don't give a darn about the other person who she's staying in the same house with. So not only do she don't care about the child, she don't care about the mother, I'm dealing with a different kind of spirit here. So if you don't care about the child and you don't care about whoever you're staying with, you ain't going to care whether this child live or die. Wisdom. See the wisdom? Go.
Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no way wise slay it.
A true mother is going to make sure their child get the best that they can possibly have. They do not want to see that child dead. They don't want to see that child all messed up. If I got to give them up in order to be successful, I still have the child. That's wisdom. Wisdom is about assessing the whole situation. Not speaking, watch it, discern it, look at it with your expertise and your experience of how you see things, you can come up with the answer. We can't do that, y'all, running our mouths all the time. Trying to ask questions and figure it out. Just sit back and watch. What did he look at? He looked at the mannerism of both women. One sitting there crying, and the other one saying, go ahead, finish it.
But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it.
Let it be me, mine's her. Hey, might as well go ahead and kill it then. Hold on. No mother is going to say kill their child. No mother going to have this attitude about it. Wisdom. It's the second attribute along with holiness that he needs us to start presenting in this earthly realm. The moral or the humanity attributes that he had presented to us and allow us to go through that we may be able to obtain it, he wants us to give. We need to start being wise in all of our doings, not only in church, but in the world. This was not a church event where wisdom had to be presented. It was to the unsaved. Go ahead, finish it so I can go.
Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment.
That's our job. We got to be wise in all of our dealing. On our job, we have to stop getting emotional. I know he wanted to pimp slap that woman all across that. But he knew that if he did that, then he couldn't be king and judge. We get too emotional about things. Y'all want to know why I said that? Because do y'all remember Solomon's first brother died? Bathsheba's first child died? So you didn't think this brought up a little bit of hurt? My brother, my his only legitimate brother, you know, he died firstborn. So he looked at how his mama reacted, how his mama loved him afterwards. I bet you that all played a part in it. His experiences dealing with death, watching his mama, and how his mama loved and nurtured him. Because I'm pretty sure his mama didn't let Solomon do too much until he got really grown that time. You know what I'm saying? You can't go nowhere. Nah, you may get sick. Same way with Sarah and Isaac. When God blesses you, you're gonna take care of that blessing. And that's what he looked at in his experience throughout his life, his expertise in dealing with the issues. And he judged the spirit, not the people. And he presented the judgment wisely. That's our job. Amen? We'll deal with we'll deal with some next week. I forgot which one. I think I got faithfulness next. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. We bless you. We love you for all you said and done. We ask you, Lord God, to continue to watch over us, lead us, and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I